Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. One of the big things I keep talking about on this podcast is hiring people and getting people to do some of the tasks in your business so that you can focus on your priorities. So that's why something that's really important is employee development. And one of the challenges people face in this area is that hiring employees is an investment, developing them and getting them to perform at a high level, that's an investment as well. But how can we do that on a shoestring? And that's what we're going to talk about in this episode. Today's guest is an author, speaker, facilitator, and leadership development strategist, and an expert in communication skills and emotional intelligence. In 2006, she founded Talent Grow LLC, a consulting company focused on developing leaders and teams, especially for enterprises experiencing explosive growth or expansion. Talent Grow specializes in people leadership skills, which include communication skills, team building, coaching, and emotional intelligence. Today's guest for episode 154 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Haleli Azulay. Haleli, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for inviting me.
It is a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really look forward to diving into the contents of this episode, but I'd love to get some backstory first. So why did you start Talent Grow?
Well, this was something that happened more than 12 years ago, and I had been thinking about starting a business actually for a while, but I didn't feel ready. I felt too scared. So back in the beginning of 2006 is when I made the leap. And I think that it was really just a combination of being so dissatisfied with the status quo of being an employee and so eager to be on my own, to be independent. And it was sort of just a confluence of different little signs that I was kind of getting from the universe. And finally, my husband asked me the question that helped me make the final decision, which was, if it doesn't work out, you can always get another job. And I said, oh my gosh, you're right. So I did it.
And that's an interesting story of how you're able to get started and the backstory that led into Talent Grow. And I mean, for people who they have employees or they have that assistant who is just helping them with some of the tasks in their business, what are your recommendations on developing those individuals on that shoestring?
Yeah. So, and your reference is the name of the book that I published a couple of years ago called Employee Development on a Shoestring. A lot of people, even in larger organizations that do have money, still feel like they don't really have enough money to develop people. And what I try to help people understand is that development doesn't have to cost anything. It's most importantly an intentional pursuit. So think about the employee and what they want to learn. Think about their career aspirations and just don't think about it. Actually talk to them about it. Find out where do they want to see themselves in 6 months, in 1 year, in 2 years, in 5 years? You know, what do they hope to learn and how do they want to grow? And then try to figure out ways that you can help set them up with opportunities to do that. And I can give you lots of examples of ways to develop people that don't necessarily cost a lot of money. But the most important thing is to start first with what does that person need to know and want to know before you start thinking of ways to develop them, because otherwise you're doing it backwards.
And thank you again for those insights. And because we don't have a lot of resources available at some time, so it's really valuable for us to understand how we're able to continue their development without as much resources available. But one of the problems I see people have when they start hiring for the first time is they'll have that micromanaging idea where they'll look over the employee's shoulder, the assistant's shoulder, making sure that everything gets done. So how do we pursue the development of the people on our team, but still feel in control of our time So it's not like we're looking over every little thing they do to the point where we're not able to address the priorities that we try to address with our extra time.
Yeah, so there's a couple things in there, I would say. One is learning how to delegate well. And the other is thinking about what does that person need right now, where they are in their development journey. So let me give you an example. Different people have different learning styles and learning needs, as I mentioned earlier. And also, they have a different capacity for learning based on where they are in their learning journey. So let's say you hire an assistant, like, you know, maybe you hire a VA, and that person is now going to take over some piece of the work that you were doing up until now. Well, that person, when they first start doing that work, what is their background with it? For example, have they been doing this exact kind of thing for three other clients that they've been working with? They just don't know your process specifically, but they know how to do this. For example, maybe they know really well how to put keywords into blog posts. I don't know, whatever it is that you're trying to do. Well, if they already have experience with that task, they're just not familiar with your way of doing it, then hopefully their learning curve is going to be really short. Like they just need to understand your process, and you can probably write that down, or you can give them a couple of examples, or you can even have maybe some kind of a conference call with them, like on Skype or on Zoom, and record it and show them and do a screen share and record that so that they can review it over and over. And for someone like this, who's been doing that for a while, you probably don't need to hold their hand so much. Maybe you can just give them a task and say, hey, when you finish this one, why don't you come back and show me what you've done? We'll review it together, and then I'll give you some feedback. And then if they do that right, when you see it, then you maybe you give them a little more complicated one. Or maybe the next time you don't even have to see it right away before they go forward with the next task. So that's an example of where someone kind of has the skill set that you need them to have already, because you've hired them as a highly skilled individual in that arena. They just need to learn your way. But if you're hiring someone, and let's say it's someone who is very early in their career, or maybe, you know, like my VA, I started having her do some updates on my website. Well, none of her other clients asked her to do updates on a Squarespace website before, so she had no idea how to do it. You know, when the person has no idea and no background in that particular task, you really need to treat that a little bit differently, right? Because think about a time when you had to learn something, and if someone just kind of threw you off a cliff and saw it to see if you can fly, you felt very nervous and worried about making a mistake and lacked guidance. So a lot of times people think, well, micromanaging is the kind of behavior that also describes the kind of behavior someone wants when they're brand new at something. They want handholding, they want attention, they want feedback, they want to be able to ask questions, they want to feel less pressure. So if the person is brand new at that task, you want to think about how do you hold their hand more, and how are you going to be more present, and maybe divide it up into small chunks, or maybe show them how you do it and then have them do it and show you once you've shown them while you're on that same Skype call or Zoom call, and kind of do it together so that you can be there, so that it's not live yet. It's just practice, you know? So I can go on forever about this, but the idea is you need to assess the person's readiness. You need to assess their competence with that skill, and you need to think about how do they learn? What do they need? And how can I allow them to thrive so that you're giving them the right kind of guidance rather than one size fits all for everyone, no matter what it is.
And I find it really, it's great to guide them at that level. Usually what I do personally is I'll create a Google Doc, and I'll be able to see my assistant edit, like for instance, show notes for the podcast. I'm able to see those edits in real time. So that's just one of the many tools you can use. Zoom being another really good one, or Skype. But I feel like once people tap into this, they're going to want to hire more people. They're going to want to expand and be able to focus more of their time on priorities. The only issue is that we have budgets. So how can we get more out of our existing budgets, so we're able to, for instance, hire more people, develop them more without going over that threshold?
For budgets for development or budgets for hiring?
I would say both.
Okay. So hiring is something that I'm not an expert necessarily on, but I would say when you find people that have the aptitude to do something, even if they don't have the skill set yet, sometimes they can be a perfect match. So I would say you can probably find people that are willing to work for less than maybe highly skilled superstars in that arena, because they're very hungry, they're very eager to learn, they're very excited, and they might bring along a skill set from other things that they've done that are similar, or some kind of maybe something they've done on as a side hustle or while they were a student. And it could be a good match for you while not costing you a lot of money. Something else you could do is sometimes offer people opportunities to gain exposure and to gain experience. And that sometimes is a value to people that exceeds a paycheck or exceeds a higher paycheck. So, for example, let's say you're working on a particular project that is very, very interesting to them, and it helps them develop a skill that they would like to put on their resume for their future career. Let's say if they want to talk to influencers and be able to name different influencers that they've conversed with and be exposed to and maybe strengthen their connections, I could see how that kind of a person would want to work for you or for me to help us source guests for our show, for our podcast, right? Because it allows them access to those kinds of people and the ability to connect and make a good impression on those people, whereas maybe being an intern and, you know, in the local mom and pop store would not. And so for someone who is just at the beginning of their career, to amass skill in something like that is so valuable, because maybe after that they could go get a job with some kind of a Fortune 500 company in their social media department, or, you know, something like this, or start their own business, whatever their aspirations are, it could help them along the way. So sometimes that can be something that can help you find the right kind of talent and creative people for whom you can make this a win-win. The most important thing, I think, is make it a win-win. And I believe in the Trader principle. I believe that in everything in life, work and not work, you always have to treat other people and yourself as equal traders. You're trading value, but value is way beyond just money. And value can be appreciation, can be recognition, can be time, can be attention, can be skills. So when you find the right exchange where each side feels like they're getting an equitable type of value in exchange for whatever they give, then it's a fair trade. So the thing about value is it's kind of like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. You don't exactly know what they value, but by exploring it with them, by talking about it with them, you might find something that's a really good match. I would say that's probably my answer for hiring. About development, though. Development can be something where people learn on their own. So a lot of people are good at learning on their own by watching tutorials like YouTube videos, or by listening to podcasts, or by reading articles and books, or by trying, you know, trial and error. Some people are excellent at that. Some people really like to learn by mentoring. Some people like to learn by taking it on. So one of the things that I described in my book is that a lot of people don't realize that you can develop skills by volunteering. And that's something that sometimes people don't think about. That doesn't cost anything. The person can volunteer their time for an organization that needs their skill or needs their interest in building that skill and their time and their effort and their energy. And so sometimes they can find an opportunity where they can develop exactly what they want to learn through a volunteer role somewhere with, let's say, a charity or some kind of a nonprofit organization in their local area. And those organizations are often run on volunteers. So they're happy to have people that are willing to give in their time and energy in exchange for exposure, for skill building and whatnot. So sometimes you can have an employee volunteer at another organization where they already have whatever it is that he or she is trying to learn, and have an opportunity for them to practice, to learn there, to be maybe mentored or coached by others. And then they build those skills there and they bring that back to the job. So there can be a perfect match of skill building development that doesn't cost the employer anything, but the employer does gain value. Of course, the employee gains value as well. But the employer gets the value of having the employee come back with those skills or that knowledge through something as simple as a volunteer role. And that's just one example. I can probably, and you can probably think of many others, but the one caveat I would say about that, if you use this approach, is that volunteering must be voluntary. I know that sounds like a big duh thing, but you can never make someone volunteer. They have to want to.
Thank you for sharing how we can get more out of our existing budgets. And that's always something I feel like we need to think about. And just as how Lovely said, it's a lot of creative ways to expand what you already have without putting in more resources or putting in more revenue to achieve the goal. And speaking of goals, one of the things that I see very often is people get stuck on a goal and they're wondering, how exactly do I move forward? What's holding me back? So I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
Wow. I think it depends on, different people have different challenges. Sometimes it's fear. And we all have different kinds of reasons why we're afraid. Some people are afraid of success. Some people are afraid of failure. Some people are afraid of judgment, you know, or rejection. So, and some people don't really believe in themselves enough, you know. I think that for all of us, having a growth mindset is one of the keys to helping us move towards a goal. I really like the research that's coming out of the work of Dr. Carol Dweck over at Stanford University. She's done a lot of research on mindset, and she describes that there is these two mindsets. One is called a growth mindset, and one is called a fixed mindset. And a fixed mindset is the belief that we are who we are, right? Like, that's just how I am. That's just who I am. This is what I know. This is what I can do. And it's when you have that a fixed mindset like that, then you don't really see yourself as a work in progress. And it's very hard for you to see yourself as malleable, which means that you are limited in how much you believe you can grow or change. And also that actually, if you're an owner of a business and you have this mindset, you are probably capping your employees with this mindset because you also believe that about others. Oh, that's just how he is, or she's just like that. She's not going to change. But when you have a growth mindset, it means that you see yourself and all humans as a work in progress. You're really never done. We're always changing. We're always growing. We're always learning. And we have the capacity to grow, learn, and develop more. That means that whatever skill set you have right now or whatever level you've reached on that pursuit of that goal, it's not the end. It's on the way. It's part of the journey. So if you're not there yet, instead of becoming frustrated or discouraged, you can see that, well, I'm not there yet, but I can see that I'm making progress, and therefore I'm going to keep working at it. Now, I might want to change how I'm working at it to get better results, or maybe there's something else that's an obstacle and I can remove it or sidestep it. I mean, you can analyze your progress and think about ways to improve your approach, but overall, you see yourself as capable, and therefore the goal is not out of reach and you don't quit before you reach it. So I find that a lot of times it's that mindset that is what's stopping people.
The mindset is always something that comes up a lot during interviews when I ask people, what do you believe holds you back from reaching your full potential? And if you do have that growth mindset, that's going to help you big time. And I believe if you're listening to episodes like this one, and that means I feel like you're self-educating. I feel like you take your education seriously. So if you keep listening to episodes like this, you keep consuming more content about your niche, that is going to help you have a growth mindset if you don't have it now, and expand on your growth mindset if you already have one. And the mindset is really important for conquering any challenges that stand in our way. And with challenges in mind, I'm wondering if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Wow, so many. Well, one of the things, one of the things early on that is still is very memorable to me, when I started my business, I was really worried about how I would compete and differentiate myself. I knew that I was very skilled. I knew that I had the potential. I believed in my abilities, but I wasn't sure how I would sell myself in a way that helped my potential clients see me as the one to take over my competition. And one of the things that I got really kind of stuck with was constantly worrying about how I might seem more inexperienced because I look younger. You know, a lot of people were older, therefore they might seem like they have more experience, therefore they might seem like they're more qualified. And when I started my business, I was, I was 35 and I looked younger than 35. And I was really worried that people wouldn't take me seriously. And I tried to like have a kind of an older hairstyle, and I tried to wear very conservative clothes. I work in the corporate side of things. My clients, it's a business to business kind of job that I have, or business that I have. So I had to try to make myself, prove myself in a way that I felt like would help me not get cut out of the loop. What's cool is over time, I started to see that my skills, my confidence, my competence, the results, the feedback from clients were good, you know, and were sufficient. And it didn't really matter how I looked. It didn't really matter if I was younger or seemed younger, any of that. And I started to just shed that, let go. And it was really nice to feel a little more free, not to be so worried about that, because it's not something you can help. And I think that that's an example that's probably similar to worries that other people might have. Maybe they seem older than people, or maybe it's something about their looks that they can't control. Or, you know, sometimes people have biases about people based on their skin color or based on where they come from in the world or whatever, things that you can't control. So I would say focus on connecting with people and shining through with your skills, and that combination will help you overcome any of those external or exterior things that could, I mean, they initially do stand in your way, but I think that they're very quickly crushed when you have the skills and when you have the ability to connect with people. It just goes to the wayside.
Further that a little bit, if you focus on the things that you can control, like skill development, that makes it easier for you to get more opportunities instead of like one thing that you can't control that may block you from an opportunity. So it's best to focus on what you can control and to do your part. And then it's more likely that good things happen and opportunities come your way. And one of the things that you can control, as I mentioned a few moments ago, is skill development. And the best way that I do that is by reading a lot of books. So with that in mind, Haleli, I'm wondering if you could share with us three great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Wow. Okay. So one book that I've liked for a long time, and I think it's related to what we've been talking about, is the book called Drive by Daniel Pink. It really helps understand the motivation for most people in today's workplace and how people are much more motivated by developing a sense of purpose, by having a sense of autonomy, and by developing mastery in their work. So I think it's a great book to understand how to motivate your employees. A second book is actually related to that, and it's called Mastery, and it's by I think I might get his name wrong. It's Robert Greene. Last name is Greene for sure. And it's a really good breakdown of the skill building journey. So he kind of explains how earlier in your career, you are more of an apprentice. And then through practice, deliberate practice and getting feedback, you begin to build mastery. And he uses really amazing experiences from people throughout history. It's a fascinating book. I've really enjoyed. And then a third book I really like, I like Dori Clark's books, all of her books. And I think that the most recent one is probably a great place to start if you haven't read it yet. It's called Entrepreneurial You. I was really fortunate to also be able to interview her on my show not too long ago. And this book helps you see that there are lots of ways that you can develop entrepreneurial skills and also develop yourself, whether you are a business owner or currently working for someone else, and to develop your brand and your ability to be seen as an expert and diversify your income streams.
Halali, thank you for those great book recommendations. Those book links and the show notes will be at markaberty.com/E154, markaberty.com/E154. And if you guys want a book that will help you with content marketing and help you grow your content brand and monetize it, then you could get my book, Content Marketing Secrets. That'll be over on the show notes as well. The link is markaberty.com/book. And before we wrap up this episode, I've asked a bunch of questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Well, I think that most of us, don't really go for play really big. I think that a lot of times we go for something that's safe, you know, something that we think that we can pretty easily achieve. And so what's something that seems like a big, huge, scary goal that when you think about it, it really does make you feel afraid, but not so afraid that you're panicked, but just afraid enough that you get that weird little tingle of fear, but excitement at the same time. And if you ask yourself, what's that, and go after that, that can help you play a bigger game. And I think be much more satisfied in your work and make a much more impactful difference in the world.
Halali, thank you for that great question and for sharing all of your insights throughout our time together. And if you guys want to see what Halali is up to, don't forget to check out her podcast, The Talent Grow Show. Be sure to listen to some of the episodes and leave a review if you like her show. And she's also offering a gift for all of us, a guide for how to become a more engaging communicator. That will be in the show notes, but the link to that is talentgrow.com/BSP. Halali, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for sharing your insights with us today.
It was my pleasure as well, and thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed it.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markaberty.com/retweets.